last time. So last time we discussed a bunch of different Nafkin Minas, what the Machlokes gets between the Minchas Chinuch and the Rosh Hash. We're going to move beyond that topic at this point. Still within Zoraya, but discuss other aspects. One important thing that we discussed last time was just that some of the Nafkin Minas discussed about planting in water, and we discussed about how important, maybe according to some opinions, planting in dirt is versus water, whereas planting in dirt is probably, you know, definitely seen as the primary way to plant, whether planting in water is also considered Zoraya in its main sense, or it's like an offshoot and it's not really considered Zoraya, then there would be differences in halacha. Now I'm going to discuss topic that comes up here, but just kind of relevant generally, is the Gemara 9 Gimel Beis. So we're going to order the Gemara. So the Gemara is right off of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Nine Gimel Beis on the top, says, Zerei v'achoresh. The first Gemara says, Michdei, Michrav Charvei v'resha. Mesnei Choresh v'hadei v'sne Zerei. So this discusses something we have mentioned a couple of times. So the Gemara wants to know, right, why does the Mishnah say Zerei before Choresh? Right? Presumably somebody plows first and then he plants. So why is the order planting and then plowing? It should be plowing and planting, assuming we're going in the order of operations of how people, you know, people plant. So listen, Choresh, father was in Zeriah, so we should mention Choresh first in the Mishnah and then mention Zeriah. So my answer is Tana Baritz Yisrael Kai, the Tana of the Mishnah. So he was living in Eretz, he lives in Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael things were different. The Zari Beresh of Hadar Karvei. We mentioned this last time. We discussed the Afikei Yam and the Magen Avos. So the Magen Avos had an opinion. Just see if everyone here. So the Magen Avos had an opinion that it's only considered that part of the melacha of planting requires that the seeds be covered in dirt. So, and if it's not covered in dirt, so that's not part of the melacha of Zoraya. So Kashi on that was this Mishnah here, because the Mishnah says that in Eretz Yisrael, they planted first and then they plowed. And presumably planting without plowing, meaning without covering the seeds with dirt, that is considered planting on its own. Seems to undo the opinion of the Magen Avos. But either way, the Mishnah, the explanation of the Mishnah is that in Eretz Yisrael, they planted first and then they plowed, because the dirt there was very hard, so it required that, essentially. Fine, Tana. Then we have another Tana, who says, the Braisa essentially says as follows. Hazareya, v'hazomer, v'hanoteya, v'hamavrich, v'hamarkiv, kula melacha achasein. So all of these actions, Zoraya is planting, Zomer is pruning, Noteya is also planting. Rashi explains the difference between Zoraya and Noteya, is Zoraya is planting in the ground, where Noteya is planting trees as opposed to seeds. Mavrich and Markiv. So there, Rashi explains the difference. One of them is grafting, and one of them is essentially taking a branch and putting it into the ground and having the branch grow through the ground. All like different forms of planting. So the Gemara says, "Kulan melacha achasim." They are all one melacha. What does that mean? They're all one melacha. Hakamashmalon. Ha'usim melachos harbe me'im melacha achas eino chayv ala achas. It teaches you then that we know from the Mishnah that if you do many melachos that are me'im melacha achas, they're all like or a form or an offshoot of one melacha, so you're only chayv once. So if you did Zareya and Zomer on Shabbos, so you'd only be chayv one chatos, because they all stem from the same thing, essentially. They're all me'im the melacha of Zareya. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha, Amar Rav Yechiyah Bar Ashi, Amar Rav Ami, HaZomer Chayim Mishim Roteya, VeHanoteya VeHamabrech VeHamarkov, Chayim Mishim Zoraya. See, Ami said that Zomer, pruning, is Chayim Mishim Roteya, which we said is planting trees, VeHanoteya VeHamabrech VeHamarkov, Chayim Mishim Zoraya. So it sounds like Zomer is an offshoot of Noteya, but Noteya, Mabrech, and Markiv are all Zoraya. So the Gemara asks, Mishim Zoraya in Mishim Noteya lo. By Mavrich and Markiv, you're only Chai of Mishim Zoraya, you're not Chai of Mishim Noteya. Meaning the assumption that we've had going until this point is that Zoraya and Otea are essentially the same thing, just one is what we call planting seeds and one is what we call planting trees. So why are we saying now that they're all essentially Zoraya? We should say they're two tracks, Zoraya and Otea. And therefore, Madrich and Markiv, you should be able to be Chayav Mishum Notea or Zoraya or both. So Ema Af Mishum Zoraya. So read it as saying you also would be Chayav Mishum Zoraya and you would be Chayav Mishum Notea. Okay, so the discussion is, we have all these different, types of planting that the Gemara seems to be treating as Zoraisas, right? Because the Gemara says that you would be Chayav, if you do any of these, you would be Chayav Achatas. If you do many of them, you're still chayav one chatas. But the assumption in the Gemara is that they're all deraisas. But I don't understand. We have a Mishnah that just said that there are 39 malachos and lists them, and these are not them, right? Mavrich, Markiv, Noteya, Zomer, they're not mentioned in the Mishnah. You only have deraisas. So how do you classify these? Are they ab malachos or are they ab? Essentially, the question is, are they ab malachos or are they tolos? We know that they have to be deraisas because the Gemara assumes that they're deraisas by discussing the fact that you would only be chayav one chatas, right? If they were the Rabbanim, that shouldn't even have been on the Gemara's radar. So presumably, Gemara assumes that they're a deraisa because it discusses how many chataos you should be chayav. But are they ab malachos or are they todos? So Rashi says, let's look at Rashi. Let's see, what's Rashi here? Kulan. Rashi the Ramaskal Kulan Malacha Achas Hein. So it's the Rashi that's the second smaller lines. The Zomer Nami Litzmuche Ilanahu. So the Zomer, the reason it's part of this discussion is because it also enables growth. It enables the growth of trees. When you prune so that you take away the dead branches that are inhibiting growth. Benafkamina di ava le kulan bahade Zoreya l'machayev alachada, and what's the nafkamina? That's what the Gemara discusses. That if you did all of them with Zoreya, you'd only be chayev one. That was the malachos harbi v'chulei, right? Because if you do many malachos, many malacha achas, you're only chayev one. Now Rashi says Zoreya av malacha, benoteya nami av malacha. Zoreya is an av malacha, and noteya is an av malacha. Who dehainu Zoreya el shezeb is Zoreya mezeb ilanos, right? Because essentially Zoreya and noteya are the same thing. One's by seeds, and one's by trees. Mavrich and Markiv, and Mavrich and Markiv too are Av Malachos. But Zomer Tolda. Rashi says Zomer is a Tolda. Okay, I don't know how he knows this. But he says Zomer is a Tolda. The Rambam, if you have a Rambam, this is Rambam Perek Zion Malacha Gimel. Rambam says, "V'chein echad hazareya zraim, o hanotea yilanos, o hamavrich yilanos, o hamarkiv, o hazomer, kolilu av echadin, me'avos malachos ve'inon echadu." All these are av echadin. They're all one av, and they're all one inyan. Shekin, shekol achas mehem letzmeach davarum miskav. Because by all these, the kavana that the person has by doing them is to grow. So the difference between Rashi and the Rambam is just the Rambam says that Zomer too is an Av Malacha, but the simple read of the Rambam is that all of these are Av Malachos. So again, the only difference between Rashi and the Rambam is about Zomer, but all five or all four of these are Av Malachos. Okay? The Ritva, I don't have it cited here, like a printout, but the Ritva says in the name of his Rebbe that something that intuitively we would have thought, that only Zoraya and Noteya are Av Malachos, but the other are Tolda. So, okay, what's the Nafkamina between an Av and a Tolda? So not much. We've seen probably two things thus far. There could be a couple of others, but the two main ones, one is the discussion in Tosfos here, and we mentioned Tosfos in Bava Kamma a little while back. One has to do with Hasra. That if a person does a tolda, and you hold that a person, when giving hasra, when you give somebody a warning about doing a malacha, thus that he would be chay of misa, so there's a discussion, right? How explicit does the warning need to be? Do you need to specify to the person exactly what you are doing wrong, you know, like how we would categorize what you're doing. Not just saying, don't do this, but don't do this because X is usser. So there's a discussion generally by all of Torah, whether that's necessary. When you give someone, they even give hastara, when they give warning, do they have to say, don't do, you know, don't eat chazer because chazer is usser? Or they just say, don't eat that. They have to specify the isser. And then there's a further discussion by Tolda, right? So if you hold that you have to specify by Tolda, do you have to specify the av malacha that it is associated with? So let's say in this case, according to Rashi, Rashi says that zomer is a Tolda. So the question would be, if you hold like that opinion, you have to specify, you know, what isser you're doing when you warn somebody, would you say, don't do zomer because zomer is the Tolda of Zoraya? That's one nafkamina. It's always a nafkamina by av and Tolda. Another nafkamina is chatas, presumably. Right, if something, presumably, although we're going to see that's not really an afkamina, but in theory, right, an afkamina being, I guess, on the list of the avim lechos, and being a tolda, is that presumably each of the 39, right, you would be chayav in certain situations, a separate chatas for each. Again, you have to have a separate like shgaga for each. There's other like situations or where this would have to play out, but like. One situation for sure is, let's say on like Friday night, so you don't know the halachos of Zoraya, and you know that it's Shabbos, you know the halachos of Zoraya, and you do Zoraya. And then on Shabbos day, you do Kotzer. So presumably, you would get two. Right? Chatas for Zoraya, if there's like some sort of yidia in between, so you could potentially get two. One for each Av, potentially. But you wouldn't get for an Av and its Tolda. Right, you would only get one. So if you did Zoraya, and according to Rashi Zomer, you're only chai of one. So that's another nafkamina, just that we just like lump the toldos with the avos. So those are two nafkaminas. So it's important, right, in discussing when you see this Gemara here now, lists all these things that, yeah, are generally associated with Zoraya. And we're assuming that they're not midirabanan. How do you categorize them? So Rashi and the Rambam, assuming are all of them are avos. And this is, like, if anything, Rashi and the Rambam are harder to explain. Right, the Ritva is easiest to explain. Essentially, just one av malacha, it's Zoraya. It's called noteo when you do it by trees, but that's essentially the same thing. It's just the act of putting the seed or the tree in the ground, and everything else is a tolda. That's the Ritva, very easy to explain. Rashi and the Rambam now want to say there are more avos malachas. Nafkamina being, if you do all these, you know, first of all, I guess in theory, nafkamina v'hasra is that if you hold, you have to specify the av that you did. So if you did mavrich, you would have to say, don't do this because you're doing Mavrich, as opposed to, don't do this because you're doing Zoraya. And it's like a kind of like a theoretical nafkamina, but...
How does it deal with the count of 39?
Well, if anything, the Ritva is... that he's the easiest to explain that, right? Because the Ritva holds, there's only essentially one Avalacha, or Zoraya and Ateo. It's Rashi and the Rambam that have more of a difficulty, because they're saying, on the one hand, there's 39 Avalachas, but then they just added three more. Where they added Mavrich, went raised more of a kasha according to the Rashi and Rambam, and that is the essential kasha according to Rashi and Rambam. So the Kesef Mishnah asks this question. He quotes the Ramach. The Kesef Mishnah is here. So it's actually on Halacha Beis, because whatever, if you look at Halacha Beis and the Rambam, so the Rambam has like the same, plays out the same idea by Choresh, because that's the first, you know, melacha that the Rambam quotes. He doesn't go in actually in any order of the Mishnah. He does the order of how people plan. But Rambam says in Halacha Beis, Kol ilham melachos, v'chol shehu, mein yonam, himane krem avos melachos. All these melachos, and anything like them, are avos melachos. Keitzad hu in yonan, echad achoresh, ala chofer, ala osachritz, areza av melacha. If you plow, if you dig a hole, if you dig a furrow, trench, so they're all amalachos. Akas v'akas mehen chafira v'karkovin ne'acharu. They're all essentially about digging dirt. It's all the same thing. So there, again, it's the same theme as halacha gimel by Zoraya. So there, the Ramach asks the question. Of course, it's quoted in the Kesef Mishnah. If you want to look inside, Temahu im kol elu avos amai chashav arba'im chasra achas. Right, then his question: if all these are avos, all these additional things that we didn't really think about. So then why does the Mishnah say, specifically, it's 40 minus 1, it's 39? Havei l'achshav yoser mechamishim. Right? If you count them all up, there could be more than 50 avos melachos, so that's what the Mishnah should have said. Va'od, another kasha, the Amrina, something that we had mentioned before. This is the Gemara in Bava Kama and also in Shabbos. Malacha dehave b'mishkan chashiva v'kari layav. This is like the other theoretical nafkamina. A malacha which is chashuv and mentioned and is in the Mishkan, well, all the way around. A malacha that took place in the Mishkan is chashuv, and that's what a nav is. Dehave b'mishkan kari lay toda. But if it wasn't in the Mishkan, that's a toda. So according to the Gemara, that's the difference. That's the distinction. That's it. Very simple distinction. If it happened in the... And that explains some of the 39 malachos that seem to be similar to each other. Essentially, it's just... If it happened in the Mishkan, even if maybe they're similar to each other, they're an Av. If it didn't happen in the Mishkan, but they're similar to what did happen in the Mishkan, it would be a Toda. So that's a Kasha. That's Ramah's Kasha. How do you explain Rashi and the Rambam, who hold that we have additional Avos Malachos beyond the 39 in the Mishnah? So it's an important question, not just for Zoreya, as we saw in the Rambam, it comes up by Chorish and potentially many other Malachos. It just happens to be the Gemara says it out by Zoreya, so in the Sugya Zoreya, so it's important to talk about this.
Maybe I missed a bit. So when the Chesed Mishnah is talking about this, would the Ritva agree that when Ritva says, oh, there's one Av, and everything else is a Tolda, would he agree that it's based on what's done in the Mikdash, or does he bring a different person?
He doesn't say that, but that's a presumption. The Gemara says, so yeah. Again, that's why it's easiest to explain. Combination of Mishkan and the fact that it says 39, so we should try the best of our abilities to limit it to 39. But it's like the 613 mitzvahs question in a different form. Right, we have this concept that there are 613 mitzvahs, and all these Rishonim go to great lengths to try to identify what are the 613 and what are not the 613, and then each one will comment on the other one. Well, why didn't you list that one in the 613? But they're bound by 613. Here, presumably, we should be bound by 39, and yet some seem to not say that way. So, the way to explain this, it's nice to discuss this because it's something we had mentioned in our introductory shiur. So it probably goes to a fundamental distinction about what is the essence of a malacha. And that ties to the source of a malacha. So it's kind of true that the source of a malacha is Mishkan, but it's also not true. Right? We saw Machlokas Rishonim, right? Tosos, Yireyim, Duran, based on two opinions in the Gemara, whether everybody holds that the malachas are learned from Mishkan. So some Rishonim held, based on one day in the Gemara, they all learned from Mishkan. That's how we know there are 39 malachas. Based on Mishkan. I would have thought more, maybe I thought less, 39 based on Mishkan. But we saw the Urayim, who seems to hold of the other opinion in the Gemara, says that it's not based on Mishkan. If anything, it's based on the fact that the opinion of the Gemara was, it says Malacha 39 times in the Torah. The Urayim had this nice idea that the Torah gave the Masorah to Chazal, and Chazal determined what are the 39 Malachas, not tied to Mishkan. So in theory, I think we said at the time, right? So in theory, you could have said that there are more. Yes, it's in Malacha 39 times, but the concept of Masr Nakasa V'Chachamim, right? So it gives Chachamim the ability to determine really how many there are. So that's one aspect. Now another aspect is the question of what is the essence of the Malacha? Is the essence of the Malacha, let's say, the result? Or is the essence of the Malacha the action? It's a classic distinction people make by malachas. What is the essence? What's the machayov of a malacha of Shabbos? Are we result-oriented or mice-oriented? And it's very nice to say that there are just two categories. Well, I've seen many times that there's some malachas that tend one way, some malachas that tend the other way, some malachas are very focused on the result and kind of like how your intent feeds into the result. We saw by kutzer, maybe that you require intent by kutzer to be kutzer. Some malachos that are maybe more maisa-oriented, pure maisa, like let's say we saw the Menachas Chinuch, that it's all about just dropping the seed in the ground and no context whatsoever. So it doesn't matter if you're going to take it out, or you're going to pull it out, you're not going to pull it out. Menachas Chinuch has held that simple dropping a seed in the ground, that's it. So that's because, for sure, the Menachas Chinuch has a very, at least in the malacha of Israel, a very maisa-oriented. We're just focused on the pure, unadulterated action with no context, no kavana, no result. That's how Menachas Chinuch views it. Those are extreme, let's say, formulations. But it's a general question by all the malachos, and sure, like the more nuanced approach is to go malacha by malacha, but generally there's a discussion. So if you hold that, let's say, the malachos of Shabbos are result-oriented and not maisa-oriented, so then you can see yourself saying that that essentially an av malacha, right, is broader than the way that you do the av malacha. So let's say the malacha of Zerea, and let's say take the formulation of the Rambam, because I think it's like right on. Rambam ends off we saw already just two, by Choresh and Zareah, but Rambam ends off each of these halachos by telling you what the essence is. So he said, let's say by Zareah, which we're learning now, so Shekol Achas Mehen, oh no, sorry, that's Kotzer, but if you go through that list, he says it by almost nearly all of them. By Zareah, Shekol Achas Mehen Letzareach Davar Hu Miskavin. Right? Kavana, it's very important if you're a result-oriented person, so then Kavana is going to be more important. And the essence of the Melacha of Zareah is to grow something. So there could be many forms of the Maisa of growing something. You could do it by a Markiv, you could do it by a Mavrich, by a Zareah, by a Notea, maybe even Zomer, but the Rambam, and the Rambam thing says Zomer is not a Melacha. But if you're very very result-oriented, so that you view these Melachos, these 39 Melachos in the Mishnah, as kind of headlines, broad categories. That's how everyone explains it. Apparently, this is how Rav Gusman explains it also, same idea. Now, one approach is that there are, according to the Rambam, there are 39 broad categories of Melachos that, in an Av Melacha form, can take on different actions. So the Melacha of Zareah is a category of growing things, and the Maisa of growing things, according to the Rambam, is by putting a seed in the ground, by putting a tree in the ground, by grafting, by putting a branch in the ground, by doing Zomer. Those are all the Av Melacha. If you hold...
They're all separate.
Right,
so... So he's result-oriented, but each action is a separate Av.
It's a separate Av for purposes of the Nafka Minas that we associate Avs with, right? So Hasra'ah and Chatas in certain situations, so they're separate Avs in that regard, but they are all subsumed in one category, so that if you did many of those five actions of Zareah together, you'd still only be chayav one. So whereas we can distinguish between any av malacha under the category of Zareah versus an av malacha under the category of Kotzer as being separate av malachos, still, according to them, and this is just what the Gemara says, right, that if you do Zareah and Mavrich and Markiv, you're still only chayav one. Because even though they're separate av malachos, they're still subsumed under this greater category of Zareah. So that's how, you have to have both. So yes, they are av malachos, but when you look at their peers in the same category, we don't view them as separate of us, so that you would be chayav one for Zareah and one for Noteya.
And you said only the Nafkamina is with respect to Hasra, so if I by accident said, don't do Zomer, but it was really, I was doing Zareah, then I wasn't properly given Hasra.
Well, no, so it seems that,
true for a told year,
so. I would assume that, right, that if we can consider them Av Melachos, so, you know, I mean, it's a good question. If you take this approach to the Rambam, so if you hold, happens to be the Rambam doesn't hold it, it's interesting, because the Rambam doesn't hold, so by Hasra, the Rambam holds that when you do Hasra, you don't actually have to specify.
Okay.
So he's of that opinion. But in theory, if you held the opinion of the Rambam...
Well, so he says you don't have to specify,
yeah, but
that's not enough,
yeah,
to mean it for him.
For him. But in, you know, Rashi clearly is signing up to somewhat of this approach here, mm-hmm, right, because he has more than just Zareah as an Av Melacha. So according to, if Rashi were to hold, you know, that you have to specify the Av Melacha that you did, so then do the Eden have to say, don't do this because it's Mavrich, or don't do this because it's Zareah? I honestly don't know the answer to that question. It could be that it's enough to say, we are saying it's an Av Melacha, so it's enough to say that the Av Melacha for the purposes of Asra is Mavrich, or the Av Melacha still has to be ultimately Zareah, and you have to specify Zareah. I would think, right, we went back to this at the time, so the whole purpose of Hasra, so specific, is to put the guy on notice, right? And it's only done in a way that it makes sense to him. So it depends how big of a lamdan this guy is, right? If he knows the 39 melachos of the Mishkan, only, if you only learned Mishnah, you didn't learn Gemara, so if you say, don't do this because it's Mavrich, he'd be like, what's Mavrich? Maybe you should say, Zareah. If he's more of a lamdan, and he read the Gemara too, so then maybe you're enough by just saying, don't do this because it's Mavrich. I don't know. So it's interesting. Okay, so that's a Rambam, right? Again, so that we would say, by all these, A, that it's, in general, the Melachos by Shabbos, you would say, on the whole, are Totsa-oriented, result-oriented, and I think that you really get that from the Lashon of the Rambam, at the end of each of these Melachos, focusing on what's the essential result or goal that we're trying to accomplish with each one of these. And again, when you focus on Totsa, you're also going to focus on Kavana as well, because presumably, if you're a goal-oriented person, you have to think about what your goal is. If you're pure Maisa-oriented, right, so then you would probably just focus, if you're pure Maisa oriented, that perspective, right, probably just comes from Mishkan, to be Maisa oriented. Because otherwise it's really hard to distinguish why this Maisa is good, like Usher, and why this Maisa is not Usher. So we happen to say that these are the maisim that they did in the Mishkan. So once you do that, you're going to take a more limiting approach to counting, and you're only going to get 39 based on that's what Gemara says. It's distinguished between avos and toldos as Mishkan or not, and that's how we're just going to decide what's in and what's out. Because if you're just maisa oriented, it's very hard to distinguish why the maisa of Zareya is more of an avalacha than the maisa of Ma'abrich. So what you say, well, Mishkan, they only did Zareya, they didn't do Ma'abrich. There were no trees at the time that were planted, because right, they were constantly moving, so they probably were not taking trees and planting them. Maybe they were.
Arla.
What?
The Arla, probably not.
Yeah, probably not. So that's that would be the distinction. So that's an important distinction that comes up here by Zareya based on the Gemara, but in general, kind of solidifies a lot of the ideas that we talked about over the last few weeks. And again, the really stemming back to the Machlokas and the Gemara, is the source Mishkan or Malacha, and exactly what does that mean? Do we really have to look at Mishkan only, or do the Chacham have the ability to expand beyond that? Okay. Interesting, right. So Rav Mitzal Ashkenazi. Rav Mitzal Ashkenazi is the author of the Shita Mikabetzes. So he points out that if you look at the, I didn't see this inside, but I heard this quoted, that if you look at the first halacha in Parag Zayin of the Rambam, this further just drives on the point. Probably the tshuva. It's not in the Shita Mikabetzes, but the tshuva, so Rav Mitzal Ashkenazi. So the Rambam, when he lists all 39 in the first halacha, so notice the form, right? So, hacharisha, vehazriya, vehaktsira, vehaimur. Right? So he focuses on, I don't know how to describe in English what is that. Well, I guess it's a gerund. If you're a grammarian, I think it would be a gerund, right? It's the noun form of the sure. verb. Yeah. I think that's what it is. I don't know. Maybe we'll. As lawyers can convene. So, right, it's... what?
Huh? I know, I mean, we use it with claims.
Maybe not real estate lawyers, I don't know, tax lawyers, for sure. Whatever. Anyways, I think that's what it is. Either way, look at the format at how it's written. Harisha, Zriya, Ktsira, Imur, etc. And if you look at the Mishnah is Hazareya, Ve'achoresh, Ve'akotzer. Definitely the clear distinction between, right, generally how we view Hazareya ve'achoresh v'akotzer is the person who's doing the action, right? And you could say that the argument of harisha, zriya, etc., that the focus is on the result, right? When you take that perspective and change it from the person doing the act to just the concept, harisha, zriya, etc., you make it into a noun form. So that also is like a signal that the Rambam is thinking it in those terms, right? Because otherwise, why would the Rambam switch? There's a very nice list set out in the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Has it, like, you just copy, right? Why did he have to switch the way that he said it? So maybe that's what he was getting at. Interesting idea. Okay. That sums up that aspect. Now, what I'm going to discuss for a little bit is the toldos of Zareya. So, yeah. So look at your Shalmi on the sheet. Okay, so the Yerushalmi on Memchas Amud Aleph in the Yerushalmi. So Kol Davar Shehu Mavchilas Apeiros Chayv Mishim Zareya. So I'm going to loosely translate this. I didn't really have a chance to go through and really get a precise translation of each of these ideas. But essentially, anything that helps growth, right, helps the growth of the fruit, that's Chayv Mishim Zareya. I think Gemara is going to give you the Mishnah Yerushalmi is going to give you examples. Hanoteya, Vamavrich Vamarkis. Those we're familiar with. Hamikarsim, Vamizarid, Vamifasa, Vamizahim, Vamifarik, Hamaavik, Hamaashin, Hamathlia, Hakotea, Hasach, Vamashke, Vamanake, Vaose Batim, Chodavashu, Havchas, Haperi, Chaimishno, Zareya. If you do all these things, I'll give you some examples. Some of it is you like Matlia, you take out the worms from the plants. Kotea is cutting in some form. Hamaavik, so it's some form of either putting dirt on because it helps growth or taking it away. Some of these are ways of like getting rid of pests. So hamazahim, I think they used to spray certain things or place certain smells by the plants to prevent, you know, pests from eating them, all these different things. Mashka, if you water the plants, an important one. All these different things, if it's done to improve the help the growth of the fruit, so you're chai mishum zareya. So obviously this list, if you don't really want to go look inside exactly what each one of these things are, is much more expansive than even just our expanded list that we had in the Gemara of Mavrich Markiv Zomer Noteya. So the question here is, right, presumably these things are all todos. Right, that would be the assumption. So number one, the Shvisas HaShavs points out in this Gemara that some of the actions that are discussed here so are what is called in Halacha of Mavriach Ari, which literally is translated as shooing away, you're chasing away a lion. But the concept is that you're preventing a damage. Right? You're preventing something from happening. You're not actively helping growth, but you're helping growth by preventing something from happening. So obviously the case is the types of pesticides or form of pesticides that they used, so that was to prevent insects from attacking it. And yet that is still considered zoreya in some form. So he points out that that's not always true by other areas of halacha. He points out that in the Gemara Nedarim, right, if a person's muder hana from his friends, a person says that he's not going to get hana from his friend. Anything his friend does that's positive, he's not going to get any benefit from it. So the Gemara says that it's mutter for the friend to pay this guy's debts. Because the Gemara says it's just mavriach ari. Essentially, he's preventing these collectors from coming after this guy. So he didn't actually directly benefit him. It's more of like an indirect benefit. And the Gemara says that's okay. But here, the Gemara seems to assume that even a form of indirect benefit or indirect result, right, that's still problematic. So you see that there's a distinction, at least by Shabbos and Mudr Hana. Maybe it's a general distinction in Shabbos and everywhere else, but the Jesus of Shabbos points out, you see that by Shabbos, what would otherwise be considered Mavriach Ari, preventing damage from happening, preventing things from happening, so that's still considered problematic by Shabbos. So now the question is, there's a discussion in the Achronim, so, and it has impact to Halacha, so are these all todos, or are these even more avos malachos? Like, how expansive, like, is Yerushalmi now just, like, jumping on, like, the Bavli, and Yerushalmi had, you know, Bavli had 5, and now Yerushalmi has, like, 15? Or what? So, the Chakas Yoav says that, in general, and this is kind of his explanation of the concept of Mavriach Ari, that Mavriach Ari is Aser Midei Rabbanan only. So, that's how he explains the difference between Mudr Hana and these cases, so that even though, meaning for to violate your neder on a d'oraisa level, so we say that it's not problematic for a person to pay your debts. Meaning that indirect benefit is not considered benefit on a d'oraisa level. But we still say it's problematic for these indirect things to happen on a d'rabbanan level. So it's not a distinction between Shabbos and everywhere else, it's just a difference in halacha. On a d'rabbanan level, so it's problematic. And therefore, all these cases, at least the cases that are Mavriach Ari, like HaMezahim, or HaMa'avik, HaMa'ashein, so those are all Derabanan. So already, now you see that one form of Tolda is, and this is an important concept in Tolda, is if the form of the Avalacha is direct, right, it produces a direct result, so if it's done in an indirect way, and we're not talking about Grama, but just like an indirect form of getting to the same result, so that's a tolda, right? So if the amalacha of zareya is, oh sorry, that's not a tolda, that's a derabanan. I'm not confused. Wait, tolda is a deraisas. It's a derabanan. If on a deraisa level, things have to be done in a direct way, and maybe even the toldos have to be done in a direct way, right? So if it's done in an indirect way, it's derabanan. It's not a deraisa at all, which is important. The Shmir Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah Zalman, held that there are some cases that if this is considered derech zriya, so even if it's done in an indirect way, so it could still be asir, and if it's not derech zriya, it could still be mutter. So Shmuel Zalman's approach to these types of issues of direct versus indirect is that still, what's essential by malachos of Shabbos is not maybe some things that we would consider essential in other areas of halacha. Like in other areas of halacha, right, so we would say, you know, if it's something direct, it's important. If it's indirect, like it's a grama, and maybe that's like a general ptur in Torah, that if done, things are done indirectly, so then it's not a problem on the deraisa level. Shlomo Zalman at least by Shabbos, in this case by Zareah, maybe in other places. So it says, but we have to focus on Shabbos. Is, again, Shabbos is just totally different. So Shabbos, if it's Derech Zariah, if it's the way that planting is done, even if it's done in an indirect way, that can still be considered Zareah, because our definitions by Shabbos and our definitions by Zareah are not the same thing.
Doesn't make sense from the Rishonim, how he lumps them all together.
Yeah, so again,
Rishonim doesn't seem to differentiate.
Doesn't give you some sort of indication that it's Derabon, and it seems to say everything's Kaim Mishim Zareah. So yeah, it's definitely more Rishon Zalman's approach. A different question would be is that, you know, just because something is Derech Zoreya, Derech Zoreya, doesn't necessarily mean that it's an Av. I mean, that's where you have to make a distinction for Rishon Zalman. Right? Av, that's a discussion we just had between Rashi, Rambam, and Ritva, 39. How do you get beyond 39? Rambam, right? Rambam doesn't quote any of these additional cases, right? Assuming the Rambam knew of the Rishami, he doesn't quote anything beyond what the Gemara says. So, Toldos. They're told us, but they're still Zoreya Derech Zoreya B'Kach, and it's interesting how expansive Derech Zoreya B'Kach can be. If it's Derech Zoreya to put out pesticide, even though that like indirectly helps growth, that's considered Derech Zoreya B'Kach, and that's considered Zoreya on a Deraisa level. So you see how even on like a Halakha L'Maisa basis,
this is only according to
Rosh Hashanah.
Okay,
but
not
according to everybody, but you know, look. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but obviously in Hilchos Shabbos, you know, Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa is a seminal work in Hilchos Shabbos, and has definitely, you know, influenced, you know, certainly influenced Pesach and Eretz Yisrael, right? Generally, like, that's the, one of the main distinctions in Pesach and Eretz Yisrael versus America is Eretz Yisrael is definitely more noted than Shlomo Zalman versus Rav Moshe, if there's a distinction. But even in America, right, there are certain areas of Halacha that for sure Shlomo Zalman is majorly influential in Hilchos Shabbos. So, yes, it's according to Shlomo Zalman, but obviously his works are very important. Okay, so point this out. So, one of these cases that the Gemara quotes here is Mashke. So, let's talk about Mashke a little bit. About watering. So, there's a Gemara. I didn't print it out, I don't think. I'll just say it out. It's not so complicated. You can look it up. It's Gemara in Moed Katan. And Daf Beis. So the Gemara says, and it's interesting how the Gemara formulates it. The Gemara says, Idmar, Hamanakesh v'hamashke mayim liz, again, this is on the way Katan Bez on the Bez. Hamanakesh v'hamashke mayim lizroim v'shabes mishumay masminon bay. It's a very interesting formulation of the Gemara. It goes back to essentially, you know, something that we've been discussing. So if a person, Hamanakesh is a form of weeding, I think. And mashke mayim is if you water plants on Shabbos. Mishumay masrinon bay. What form of asra'a do we give this guy? Like, what do we tell him? How do we warn him? So Rabba Amar, again, this Gemara is assuming, according to the opinion, that you have to be explicit about what Ab-Malacha you're violating. So Rabba Amar Mishum Choresh, Rav Yosef Amar Mishum Zareya. So Rabba says it's Choresh, right, because it softens the ground, right, watering, let's say. Or Menachesh also, weeding prepares the ground for planting. And Rav Yosef Amar Mishum Zareya, Rav Yosef says Rechai Mishum Zareya. So Amar Rabba Kavasi Didi Mistabra. My opinion makes more sense. Ma Darko Shachoresh Lerefuye Ara Hainami Marfuye Ara. Right, just like Choresh makes the ground soft, so too any of these two things, weeding or planting, right, makes the ground soft. Amar Rav Yosef Kavasi Didi Mistabra. Ma Darko Shachoresh Lerefuye Pera Hachinami Mitzameach Pera. Just like the essence of Zareya, or Zareya is all about helping fruits grow. This too helps fruits grow. Amalei Abaye Ul Rabba. So Abaye says to Rabba, L'didach Kasha Ul Rav Yosef Kasha. Both of your opinions, meaning whether it's Mishum Choresh or Mishum Zareya, they're both problematic. L'didach Kasha Mishum Choresh in Mishum Zareya low, Rav Yosef Kasha Mishum Zareya in Mishum Choresh low. Both of your opinions are Kasha. Why? Because Because each one makes a really good argument, such a good argument, that how could you not say like the other guy? Interesting. That's a gotcha. If you want to say, well, in these situations, when in theory you could only be chayiv, you could be chayiv two, the din is you can only be chayiv one, and you have to pick one, so I picked the one that was more compelling. No, because of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana actually appears in our Gemara. It's the next line, I believe the next line in the Gemara. It's on Rav Kahana. He says, if you're zomer v'tzarech le'itzim, if you prune, but you also need the branches that you're pruning, you're chayav twice for two different things. Achaz mishim kotzer v'achaz mishim enoteya. You're chayav for kotzer and enoteya. So how can you tell me that you can't be chayav mishim choresh and zareya? Kasha. So how do we paskin? So first of all, Tosas points out that it's not really kasha at all, because it's machlokas amorayim, between whether you could be chayav for two or one. So these amoraim held that in situations where you could in theory be chayav two, you can only be chayav one for one action. If it's like, it's identical, circumstances are identical, and in theory we could apply two malachos, the din is you only chayav one. That's what these amoraim in Moed Katan, rather than Yosef held. According to Rav Kahana, no, you're chayav two. So that's just machlokas asugyas. The Rambam paskins that you're chayav mishum zareya. So you pick one side. And he said, if you water plants, you're chayiv mishum zareya. And the Magen Avraham says you're chayiv too. So there's important nafkaminas between these two cases. Right? There's probably, let's say, situations where one of those factors is applicable and one of them is not. So the Shar Tzion points out that a nafkamina, Shar Tzion, right off of the Mishnah Berurah, points out that if there are no, let's say there's no seeds on the ground, and you water your, wash your hands, right? There's a whole discussion about, one of the main discussions about Mashkamayim on Shabbos is you had a Kiddush outside in the summer, can you wash your hands on the grass, etc., etc.? So, or there's dirt, so can you wash your hands? So an Afkamina between the Ram and the Magen Avraham is, right, if there's just dirt and no seeds, so you're not going to grow anything, but you know that there are no seeds, which is, again, the likelihood of knowing that is so minimal, because it seems like everything, right? Things that otherwise seem to not grow, they all of a sudden grow. I guarantee you, if you have dirt in your backyard that hasn't seen, and in the summer, there'll be green stuff. I have a pile of dirt in my backyard. A pile, like a mound of dirt, and from like last winter, and then I didn't think anything, and towards the end of the summer, it was just sprouting. So like, there's always seeds and everything you don't really know. But if you really knew that there was no seeds in the ground, and it was just pure dirt, would you be allowed to wash your hands on that? So it depends. If you hold that you're chayav mishum two things, if you hold like the Rambam, it's only issue is zareya. If there's no zareya here, it's no issue of pouring water. Holding Magen Avraham, so which we do. So if there's an issue of choresh as well, so there's choresh, even though there are no seeds now, you're still it's the choresh, and then you could tomorrow plant seeds, right? You don't need to have choresh. You're not chayav for choresh only when there's seeds in the ground. Just the act of choresh itself, you're chayav. Okay. Discussion then becomes about mashkamim. That's just general discussion about mashkamim. The source, this the Gemara to talk about it, so we have like a working definition. So discussion becomes about mashkamim, and it leads into another sugya that is just like all over the place in Shabbos. Is what about Erev Shabbos? So now it blends into a sugya about Erev, important sugya about Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara, let me do this quickly. The Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Aleph on Shabbos says, it's pretty much in the middle, just about in the middle. It's by the base of the Im Mishpat. It says, Tan Rabbanan, Poskin Mayim Levina Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. Umismavis Velechas Kol Hayom Kulo. Again, this Gemara I think we mentioned last time, there's like a major machlokas Beisham and Beis Hillel about on Erev Shabbos, can you do something on Erev Shabbos or set up a process on Erev Shabbos that's going to go into Shabbos? How much of that process needs to be done? Is it mutter at all? So the Gemara lists a zillion cases. One of the cases the Gemara discusses based on a Braisa is, the Gemara Braisa says, that you can open up, essentially open, I mean, it's not poseach, but like you can open up water, whether they had via pipes, aqueduct, whatever they had, so you can open that up into a garden on Erev Shabbos, you know, before Shabbos starts, umismali sodachas kolayom, and you can let it continue to run all of Shabbos.
What about Malachas Nero? You light a candle before Shabbos, and you want it burn and continue to burn on Shabbos.
Yeah, but the Malach, well, Yes, but the malacha, well, right? There's no iser of having something lit on Shabbos. It's lighting.
But even just melting the wax, isn't that?
The malacha is not melting wax. The malacha is taking something that's not lit and lighting it. Tell me, like, every single... So that's the question we asked a couple weeks ago, is the famous Nimuka Yosef asks, right, how's it ever mutter to light Shabbos candles? Because isn't it... this is a whole other sugya that we discussed, but he says, right, that how is it mutter to light Shabbos candles on Erev Shabbos? There's a din in the Zikin of Isho Mishum Chatzio, that a person's fire is like his arrow. So for Hilchos Nezikin, if a person lights a fire and then like a chain of events happens, that person's fire spreads to the neighbor and, you know, burns the neighbor's house. So there's a question, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, whether it's Mishum Mamono or Mishum Chatzio. Is it Nafkaminas or Hilchos Nezikin, whether we say it's as if the person did it or it's this person's Nechasin who caused damage. So the Nemruk Yosef asks a question, how is it ever possible, if you hold Mishum Chatzio, it's like you did it. If you lit a fire and it leads to a chain of events as if you lit the fire at that moment when it caused the destruction, so how can you light Shabbos candles? Right? Because shouldn't we say that every moment that it's burning, it's as if you lit? And he gives an answer. But the important part is that he views the definition of Havara as lighting. So we can get around the question how we don't view it as if you're lighting at that moment, but the Malacha is the lighting. So it wouldn't be an issue of just having something lit, and right, because right, that's the Rashi. Karoyim said, right, Loser Adoration, we call Loser Shechem Yom HaShabbos. They understood it to mean, right, you can't have lights on in your house on Shabbos. Doesn't mean that. The Malacha is the lighting itself. You can't light something that wasn't lit. So, here the question is, right, so Gemara seems to say pretty clear, you can open up a sprinkler, a pipe, or whatever, that starts to flow on Erev Shabbos, and it continues to flow on Shabbos itself. Now, the Gemara continues, so, just give a couple lines. Quotes a bunch of different cases that, like, you can start and continue all onto Shabbos. And then it says, about ein nosnin, this is about, I don't know, 7 or 8 lines down, about ein nosnin chitin l'toch arechayim shamayim, ela b'chdei sheyitchanu mibodio. You can do all these things except for the following. Seems like everybody holds this. Even Beis Hillel, who's generally makil about all this stuff, seems to hold that you can't do this. What's this? You can't put in wheat into a water mill unless it'll grind everything before Shabbos. My time, why can't you do that? Right, presumably Beis Hillel is fine with it, as long as you start the process beforehand. Amar Rabba b'meisha mashma as kol. So Rabba says, because it makes loud noise. So that seems to be the answer. Rashi, look at Rashi. Rashi, it's Yom Asla Sheet Chanu Mimonium. It's a couple of lines down from where the Gemara ended. It makes noise. It becomes like a whole big ordeal on Shabbos, and there's a Zilzul Shabbos, so it's a problem. There's a machlokes by Mashmash Kol and Avshamilso is the issue that, you know, maybe it's like a Marasayan issue that, you know, we'll think that you actually did. You know, you see this process happening, it's making like your washing machine is running on Shabbos, and it's really loud. My washing machine is really loud. It's really loud, it shakes the whole house, and people will think, oh, he must have started that on Shabbos, and that's the problem. We don't want people to think that you did a malach on Shabbos, because you would think, how else did this get set up? The other issue is just zilzul, just not in the spirit of Shabbos, to have your washing machine shaking the whole house. So this is halacha lemaisa, right?
It's more sign, why is it that problem with the water?
What?
It's more sign, why is it a problem with the water?
Oh, so let's first discuss the parameters of mashmas kol and ashmas, and we'll get back to that. So, this becomes a sugya in general. I want to mention it for like a minute or two. It becomes a sugya because it's here, and this is where it all comes up. Right? Things in Shabbos don't come up in order. If you open up the Shulchan Aruch on Shabbos, and you start from the beginning till the end, like, good luck. It's just all... He writes in the order of, in theory, how things should present themselves to you on Shabbos. But he lived in a different time than we did, so things have presented to him that you would think about. You would, like, he starts with Hablakas Neros, and then goes into other things, and comes back to Tefillah, and then back to Mincha. Like, it's just all over the place. It's not like, you know, organized how we would otherwise think. So that's how things have come up in Shabbos. You learn one thing and just something else comes in. So that's what comes up here with, like, well, Kalim. So are you allowed to run your washing machine on Erev Shabbos? Are you allowed to run your dryer, your dishwasher, your sprinkler, whatever? All these different things that people can set up before Shabbos. Can you do that? So the two, I would say the two types of setting things up. So one type of setting things up is that you set up the process itself and it's actually happening. It's like you push start on your washing machine and it's running. The other type of setting up is that it's not really running, right? Let's say like a Shabbos clock or a timer or something like that, right? So it's not really running in the classic sense. Like the melacha is not really being done, started at all. But you set up a process that's going to happen or continue on the Shabbos. Now the chav about Shabbos clocks is that we view your timing, you're setting it up as the beginning of the process. So even though nothing really happened about like what the timer is all about, we say like the setting the timer is the beginning of everything. So you got to do all that. So the Gemara boils everything down to, at least here, the Gemara boils everything down to mashmas kol. It's all about how noisy it is. So there's going to be, I'm not going to discuss, you can ask, there's some chuos you can read, or musha, whatever, how noisy it is, you know, can you hear it, can you not hear it, you know, is Marasayan really a factor, is it not, would we think that you would do it or not? A bunch of different opinions, you know. Sprinklers back in the day versus sprinklers that are now, right? The drip sprinklers that they have in Eretz Yisrael, you don't even notice that it's happening. It just drips out, right? Irrigation, as opposed to like a really loud sprinkler and it's all over the house, so you can see it spraying. That's one issue. But what's important here is this Yerushalmi and this Rambam. Let's just go for like 1 minute. Unless we have a minute. Do we have a minute? Just almost, or is this 10? Yeah. Well, I'm not saying for 10. Okay, so maybe we'll just set this up and continue this. So Yerushalmi says as follows. I'm Rav Chagai, the second last source. Right, you can't do any of this stuff because it makes noise. I'm Rav Yossi, Yaus Rebbe, Sarvak Rebbe Yehuda. Okay, so it was discussing how Rebbe Yehuda held. How Rebbe held, Rebbe holds Rebbe Yehuda. Baram Karabonin Kamadi Inun Amrin Tamon Mishum Lohus Chal B'chol Tipa V'tipa. The Rabba... Okay, so they discuss an opinion about it's the Gemara in Beman Likin, but it boils down to here, why is it a problem? A separate reason that this is a problem, not Mimnesha Mashmas as a kol, as our Gemara presents, but another reason why we would hold that setting up a mill, a water mill on Erev Shabbos is a problem, seemingly according to everybody, even according to Beis Hillel, is because not every kernel of wheat was ground up. So nothing to do with how noisy it is, like the Gemara says, but Yerushalmi throws in another opinion, because not each malacha that's associated with this is done. So in theory, let's say you had 100 kernels of wheat in this mill, and you ground up 20 before Shabbos. If there's 80 left, so this opinion Yerushalmi would say that's a problem because not each grinding of a kernel of wheat is its own malacha for these purposes, and therefore you're setting up a system where you're going to be doing an individual malacha on Shabbos. The Rambam, we'll discuss the origin of the Rambam next time, but the Rambam seems to apply that in a halacha, like seems to, and this is not a Rambam in halacha paper. The Rambam actually wrote a parish on Shas that we don't have all of the copies of. This is a manuscript, but he seems to apply that in a halacha sense, like the halacha. There's another reason why this is a problem, that you're doing an individual malacha on Shabbos. Therefore, you have to rethink all these things, including poskim ayin lagina, perhaps. Maybe every molecule of water is its own malacha of watering, and then maybe you can't do it. Forget about mashmas as a kol, and can you use Shabbos clocks or anything like that. If you set up a process, and we can somehow look at this process and say, each individual moment is its own malacha, so you can't do it. So maybe according to this, and it happens to be, is that Rosh Hashanah holds based on this Rambam. We can discuss where this came from, but not doing sprinklers on Shabbos for this reason. Rosh Hashanah's opinion, based on this Rambam, maybe it should be Machmir, because we give you each individual molecule of water as its own malacha, and it's like you're watering on Shabbos.
And how do you go back to tomorrow, or that's for next time?
Machmir according to Yerushalmi.
No.
It's Rosh Hashanah.